So here we are at breakfast in the heart of England's capital city, London, around 8:30 in the morning, and joining me bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for one of the earliest podcast recordings we've done here at All About Simeon, Rafe Blanford.
Hello, everybody.
Steve Litchfield.
Did you say bright-eyed?
I did say bright-eyed, yes. Burning like fire, as Art Garfunkel would say.
Oh, no.
And I'm Ewan Spence here as well. It's an All About Symbian special podcast for the Symbian Exposium and Expedition. No, not Expedition.
Exchange and Exposium.
Exchange and Exposium. There we go. Sorry, guys. And just before we head into the hall, what are you guys expecting to get from the show today? What are going to be the highlights, we think?
I think what we're going to see is a lot more about the Symbian Foundation, because this is their first big show as an organisation. So I'm expecting to hear more about the open source business model and how they expect to get contributions in. Personally, I'd also like to hear about some more hardware manufacturers using the Symbian Foundation platform. Whether that happens this time around or not, I'm not 100% sure.
QT says something like 25% of the code has come from user contributions. Do you think that's the same sort of valid target for the Symbian Foundation and Lee Williams?
I suspect it's how you count the contributions as users. I mean, we've already seen contributions from Orange in the emulator and from Ixonos in the double tap to single tap thing. So yes, I think in one sense, 100% of the contributions are going to come from outsiders as far as the Symbian Foundation is concerned. Outside the big companies, I suspect 25% might be a little bit generous. The majority is still going to come from Nokia, Sony Ericsson and Domoco and the associated Japanese companies.
I think for me, the main thing to watch out for is the interesting stories on the stands. I mean, just wandering around, finding companies I've never heard of and think, what are you here for? And actually discovering something really interesting. Now, for every one of those, there'll be some company that really does something so boring that no one actually will be interested in it. But there are some fantastic stories and stands out there. Red Bend last year, the people who put the over-the-air updating software in most of the Nokia phones we've got. I absolutely love talking to them and seeing just how that works and watching a live demo. Fascinating stuff.
And certainly the community is one of the great advantages here as we go into Earl's Court too, is that we have all the people that we talk to online, that we read, and we have all the listeners to the podcast as well. Thank you all for your well wishes and coming up. But I just love the fact that we all get into the building and it's not like Christmas. There are no fights between families and everything. It's we all get in and we're all building this forward. And it's a community spirit that's quite hard to see in terms of the users and the webmasters and writers and the businesses and the large trail people. And you really don't see that in any of the other ecosystems.
And I've just got some breaking news here. And I know it's not going to be breaking by the time you listen to this, but we are actually going to see some new hardware at the Symbian Smartphone Show.
Do we know who the manufacturer is?
We do. It's the Nokia 6788, and it's a Chinese 3G phone, in other words, that's running TD-SCDMA. And it's all I know at the moment is that it's an S60 phone. It looks like it's got a 5-megapixel camera. So we'll be getting a look at that later. And I should say, when I say Chinese 3G, that means it's specifically for the Chinese market on their own variant of 3G technology. So I guess we'll have to go and check that out at the show, and we'll be reporting on that in more detail later. But a very important win for Symbian in the China market.
Indeed. So what we're going to do now is we're going to finish off our breakfast of croissants and toast and other sound effects that we can put into the inside. We're going to head in to Earl's Court 2 for the Symbian show. Yeah, and I'm never going to remember it this early on in the morning. We're going to find the new devices. We're going to find news. We're going to find people to talk to. We're going to find interviews. We're going to find questions. We're going to see what Symbian Foundation and its partners has in store for a wonderful journey for the next 12 months and beyond. Why not stay with us for the rest of this podcast and find out what we find out as well? Shall we, chaps?
Okay. Yep.
While we leave Rafe to go into the seminars and we leave Steve to prowl the floor, where else would I be but sitting down in the press room, which seems to be lacking tables, chairs and power, but it does have Executive Director of the Symbian Foundation, Lee Williams. Welcome, Lee.
Yes, thank you for that. Hey, we do have beanbags.
You can't really work on a beanbag, though, can you?
Oh, well, okay. We wanted people to relax a little bit, you know? What can I say?
It's a very nice environment, and we have managed to find one table in power, so... But it's interesting that you're building up the community spirit inside the press room as well as in the wider ecosystem.
That's right. That is the goal. I mean, we think, believe it or not, we think hard about these things. We want to be consistent with what we do. So it is. It is about community spirit. Hey, grab a floor, grab a beanbag, do whatever it takes, and share power. That's what communities do, right?
I love it. Yeah, and the second that somebody realizes, like, Steve,
Hi there.
The second Steve realises I'm doing something important, he's just like, no, keep an eye on Ewan. So, just out the keynote, that's, you were pretty combative up there. I mean, things like, if you think you've got the world's most powerful operating system, you're wrong. If it took 6 months to add in cut and paste, I'd be embarrassed. If you think we've been standing still, oh, we've so not been standing still.
Right.
Is that how you feel?
No, I don't feel combative at all. I think we're at a place, though, where there are some differences in what we're doing versus what competition is doing, and there's some differences in what we can say versus what others are saying. And frankly, with pride, I'm saying them. And I'm getting some good feedback, too, from some people in our community and some companies and some developers are saying, you know what, I hate having to go to discussion forums and, you know, defend the fact that cut and paste has been here for 5-6 years in these products. Why don't you guys talk about it? Why don't you, you know, point out the differences? So I'm honestly not that combative of a person. If you know me, I tend to sit down in a lotus position if you confront me. But other than that, I'm just trying to point out differences.
Do you think, though, that the Symbian Foundation needs a little bit of that cut and thrust away from the almost British reserve that it's had over the last 10 years, now that you're perceiving it as a startup and you're up against a lot of other pieces of technology?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. We do realize what we're up against. We're up against really large consumer brands, more than that, companies who have these huge revenue streams from things other than mobile. So welcome to the party, but game on at the same time. And so I just don't think anybody should be embarrassed about competing or pointing out differences. And certainly part a little bit of my style, but also the style of a lot of people in the foundation. So,
now, you've been in post now for officially 11 months, but essentially it's been about a year since it announced, and you've probably got your eye over the shoulder and everything. Last year you said you'd had personal metrics about where you'd want the foundation to be 1 year on. Did you reach them?
We did reach some of them.
When?
When? Well, so as an example, about 4 months ago, we hit the hardware abstraction layer reference. If you remember, I spoke about 4 beacons a year ago, right? Yeah. And one of them was that hardware abstraction layer. We did something a little bit more. We surpassed my expectation. I couldn't believe it. Our board of directors approved it in one pass, opening of the microkernel. So that really helps, because that's married with that abstraction layer. And again, we achieved that all about 4 months ago, and as you know, just got the kernel out there as that part of it. So that was a key one. A second beacon was web runtime, right? We've been successful at getting a more advanced branch of Kit, of WebKit, into the Symbian 3 code that's available today. So again, we achieved that objective, though we have some work to do. I wish there were more products in active development coming off of Symbian 3 versus Symbian 4, because people are really seeing what's coming in 4 and throwing a lot of weight behind it. So there's that caveat there, but again, I think we hit the objective pretty well.
You said most of them. Does that mean there's a couple that are still stalling, or they're just a little bit behind schedule, or just causing headaches?
No, I think it's a complex thing, right? Too complex. I mean, so much so it gives me a headache to go into it at times. But, bringing these products to market requires a tremendous amount of effort. For a typical resource profile for a device, as an example, is thousands of individuals. So think about what it takes to coordinate with thousands of individuals on one or common code lines to get common things done. It just takes a lot of work and effort. So what I'm referencing is the coordination between running simultaneous code lines of active 4 development, 2 development, and Symbian 3 development is just it's an ongoing battle day over day.
So where's your role in that? Because obviously, do you get into the code yourself? Are there any lines of code in Symbian that are your lines?
There aren't. I'm ashamed to say I don't code anymore, and I mean that, because
even a little SIG file at the bottom going, Lee said it's okay.
No, that was never my key type of contribution. The last time I coded was in Java. I've done a little Python scripting under S60, but I distinguish scripting from heavy coding. I'm a procedural C guy, so in that context it's very different, and I haven't sat down with a good IDE or done any procedural C in a while. So
what do you actually do then with the partners and everything? How do you drive it all forward?
Yeah, I mean, at one level I'm an escalation point, right? I mean, that's a key aspect of my role. Otherwise, I don't earn my paycheck as overhead, right? So at one point, you know, I am a guy you call who goes out and leverages relationships in the member companies, the board companies, to resolve problems or conflicts that just aren't getting solved. So that's a large part of my role. I would say a secondary part of that role is to set ambition levels and set objectives. And, you know, as I commonly tell staff and I tell member companies, you know, I do consider it my role to have unreasonable expectations because there are certain things we're trying to achieve. You know, I'm part of a vision. I feel strongly about that. You hear me use words like movement. I take those very seriously. And so that implies that I take a very serious role in helping others get there by setting objectives, giving them ideas, brainstorming. I often, most often with staff, I'm sitting back on a whiteboard just brainstorming and throwing out ideas with people about how we can achieve things.
Okay, then I'll call you on that one. Then most unreasonable expectation you have of the Symbian Foundation, say in the next year.
Ah, most unreasonable expectation is that, okay, I would like to see every company that manufactures the products, that especially the mobile devices that are out there, grab 50% of their features and functionality from the ecosystem and not invent them in-house. That's what I'd like to see, because that's a sign of a thriving ecosystem. It's how these companies need to transform. If you're just sitting there trying to invent here all the time, you're missing the point of what we're doing. And so the power of what we're doing is that you can and you should be able to reach out there, grab those features, get them quickly to market, and consumers will naturally benefit. And I hear all the time how unreasonable that expectation is.
But at the same time, though, you've got the new website, you've got new discussion frameworks, almost using people as an API, to try and get this sort of collaboration coming in effect. In essence, you're trying to use everybody's ideas and distill them from all around the ecosystem. I mean, to me, that seems like worse than herding cats. That sounds like herding cats while they're herding mice.
Well, yeah, it may be, or herding ferrets, as I would like to say. So, but it's ideas.symbian.org, where I would encourage people to come and let us herd them just the same. Because, it you know, again, we have a tremendous opportunity here. I don't think everybody quite understands the role they can have. Every individual, every developer, anybody who's just an enthusiast, a consumer who's just sitting in front of the fireplace, you know, wherever they may be, can come in and actually contribute to the future development of these products and services. It's quite unique.
You still think there's space for a hero program in it?
I absolutely do. You know, heroes are the best people in the world. It's back to it's not just my style to be combative. It's to find and help heroes. And I would love to see these guys. I just met some of the fellows yesterday who do some of these great apps, Mobler and Gravity and others. And we stay in touch with these guys. More than that, we let others know that you know, we're open to helping them directly.
Lovely. Well, Lee, it's great to have your time. I know you've got a busy time and you want to say hello to pretty much everybody in the conference store. So thanks for taking the time out. If people want to get onto the ideas, they can obviously go to ideas.symbian.org.
Right.
Can they get directly in touch with you? Are you that open as well for the
sure.
community?
Absolutely. You can always contact me at leew@symbian.org. And I'm very active on Twitter. It's probably the most active thing I do during the day if you want to speak to me. So Lee M. Williams on Twitter, just @LeeMWilliams, and you can get me there as well.
Lovely. Lee, thanks very much for your time.
You bet.
So walking into C2009, you're immediately hit by, similar to last year, but not quite so big, if I'm honest. It doesn't extend quite so far back in the hall. Also, very striking, you've got this main Nokia stroke obvious stand. You've also got a stand for Tieto, a name I've actually never heard of. But they do a lot of work, apparently, with Qt and developing systems for Nokia and other phone manufacturers, mainly around Europe. So we are walking up to the Ovi stand. Nokia didn't have a stand per se.
Bill Perry, Senior Services Marketing Manager with Forum Nokia.
And I'm the guy with the awkward question. Now, a few weeks ago, I exclusively revealed on All About Symbian that silently the Nokia Ovi store had enabled the re-downloading of applications people have bought. It didn't work for every app, but it did work after a fashion. That facility seems to have now largely gone away. What's the official stance on this re-downloading of stuff you've already bought?
So I don't have an official stance because I'm not fully aware of where we are with that. So I would have to double check with our Ovi Store product team to find out what the status is with that. If you want, I can provide more information after I contact them if you leave your email or phone number.
But you'd agree that in principle, for example, you buy Gravity, it's £8 on your N97, and then you get it wiped or something goes wrong, you hard reset it because you want to reconfigure it. A day later you go back on the Obvious store and you're asked to pay £8 all over again. Surely that just cannot be right, and there must be something done pretty soon.
Well, from a consumer standpoint, what they should do is contact Nokia customer care, or Obvious store customer care, and say, hey, this is a situation, I paid for the application, I need to re-download it, help me out.
But people have done that and then had wait week after week after week, and nobody's got back to them, and surely that's an incredibly labor-intensive way to handle something as simple as letting people download stuff they've already bought on the same machine with the same IMEI.
We are working with consumers, working customer care to figure things out, if you will, and so I don't have an answer that you're looking for, unfortunately. I know you're looking for a soundbite or some quick thing to say, aha. I don't have that, but we are, we do listen to consumers and their feedback, and so it's our full intention to ensure that these guys are addressed and handled appropriately.
Can I ask you, as an expert on Ovi Store, which is your favorite application? And you're not allowed to say Gravity.
Okay. I like several applications. One's called TouchNote, and so TouchNote is an application that you can download for S60 devices, and allows you to basically take a picture, and you can select the contact from your contacts book, add a message, send it to the servers, and they actually will create a physical postcard and mail it to the address you specified in the contacts. And so it's a mix of the physical world and the virtual world, so it's kind of cool. And so far, they've had their application downloaded in 130 countries worldwide.
All right, thanks, Bill.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So we're just moving further into the show now. Imagination Technologies, Teleca, Engineering Mobile Solutions. And now walking up, there's a whole raft of smaller companies as there normally are. Very, very developer-y. Some of them were quite familiar names. Psylock, very familiar. Loads of useful travel utilities and media applications. Comarch is a new name, Comarch. Never heard of them before, but we're wandering past their stand. Hi there. So we're just with a whistle-stop tour of the Comarch tour. You have 30 seconds. What do Comarch do, please, guys?
All right, guys. So we have a good software. It's like chocolate type of application. So you just come here, shake your phone as fast as you can, and once you are on the Hall of Fame list, you will get your own chocolate. So, but really, guys, you have to experience it, not just to talk about it.
Okay, maybe later then, guys. Catch you later. Well, I'm not quite sure what they were on, but there was a huge Hall of Fame flickering on their wall. So maybe we'll come back later and see if we can win something. Anyway, Louderback, I haven't heard of them, but the debugger, the logic analyzer, they're not going to talk to us, but that's fine, absolutely fine. Moving on, we have Scalado. Now, they do all those Wizo photo gallery and photo transformation applications, and we'd love to catch some demos of that later on. Now, moving up to the big, big Sony Ericsson stand, we've got huge S's and C's and other letters suspended in the air. And we've also got lots of Sony Ericsson Satios on display, which I guess is the sexiest bit, and a chance to actually win one. And Rafe and I did try and win one by colluding and cheating, rather, and we failed miserably. So we can't even win by cheating, which is rather sad. But the Satio does look rather splendid. So we're now moving round past Sony Ericsson to the probably the second biggest stand at the show, which is the Samsung Mobile, flanked by a couple of smaller companies. There's Neusoft, Mobile Software and System Solutions, and the sales office completely empty. Well, that's a surprise. Now, this is interesting. This is the best bit. We have a rank of black t-shirted lovelies who are doing a massage on anyone who's stressed out. Ewan wants me to go for a massage. Okay. I'm now sitting down for a massage and waiting patiently.
We don't have a fixed price. You pay what you feel it's worth. We give 10% of that to a charity called Kids Company.
Okay, how long will this take?
10-minute head, neck and shoulders.
Okay.
Hi, it's Rafe Blanford here, the editor of All About Symbian, and I'm very pleased to say that I've got with me Jan Ole Suhr from mobileways.de, but of course everyone really knows him as the developer of Remote S60, one of the top applications.
No, Wireless IRC.
Oh, Wireless IRC, yeah, I forgot. Yeah. And there's this other application it does, which I'm told is quite good for this thing called Twitter or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Hey, there's another one, Remote Professional, don't forget about it.
Oh, of course, yes. So
everybody, of course, knows that Jan Ole is the developer of Gravity, the best mobile Twitter application you can buy, according to loads of reviewers. And I know that all three of the team, in fact, All About Symbian, use Gravity on a daily basis. So we're big fans. So John, I think the first question to ask you is, you know, how's it going? Because you're a one-man band developer, and we often talk to Symbian developers and they moan about how hard things are. So what's been your experience?
You mean my experience for developing? Or
Yeah.
I mean, my experience for developing for Symbian is great. Very great. Recently, I mean, with the success of Gravity, it's just overwhelming. And to be honest, what I experience right now is that the community of Symbian users is a very special type of people. And it's very good to develop for them because you get so much valuable feedback. They seem to be very nice people, the users, you know, for whom you develop. That's what I experience. The other thing is that I figured out that you can do a lot of things with Symbian, with S60 right now. You can even make an application which looks like an iPhone application on an N97. There's no reason not to go for it for other developers. So I just encourage other developers to go the same route. Just try to make your application look good, and then the people will be happy.
And as a developer, have your sales been sufficient to support you as a job? Because I know you're doing it on your own.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I'm doing Symbian development full time since 2003, and I'm living from it since 2003 with Remote Professional. And then there was a 2-year phase where I just had to live from my savings because of Symbian Sign. But now recently with Gravity, I can live from it. I can live from it very well right now. And I think that might be encouraging to other developers as well. So you just don't have to go for iPhone or even Android. You can live from developing for Symbian as well.
So that's a great success story. So one of the things I wanted to ask you was, has the success in sales terms come through your own website, which is mobileways.de? So that's where you go and buy Gravity if you haven't already bought it, or through OviStore or Handang or any of the other content aggregators?
It has come through my own website. I'd say like 90%, probably even more, is my own website. Initially, I only sold through my own website. I usually, with my previous products, I sold to Andango and other stores. But they, for whatever reason, probably to make more money or because they weren't making so much money at all, they increased their share from initially 30% in like 2003 to right now 50 or even more than 50%. And this is just a ripoff of the developers. Because in the end, without the developers, those app stores don't have nothing. They can't sell nothing if the developers don't produce anything. If the developers don't get any money, you know, it's just a problem. So I thought about selling on my own site only through some payment processors where you get like 92 to 92% of the revenue all yourself. And with Gravity, I think it's probably a special situation, so you can map that to all the other developers out there. With Gravity, it's a special situation because it's a viral product. It's a Twitter client, and on Twitter, it's advertised because of the tagging or the source. Any tweet going out to Gravity is marked as being from Gravity, and if you click on the link Gravity, you land right there on my website where you can buy it. So of course I've got the advantage of this kind of self-advertising, but still the nice thing about selling on your own is that you get the feedback of the people. You can react much more quickly. There's no support queue of the App Store in before, which might take 3 or 4 days to forward to you, and then yourself to act 2 days later. So the user already is annoyed about this. So you can get back right away. And the best thing of selling on your own is that you know from where the people are coming from. And with Gravity, you know, sometimes I'm just sitting there in the office and browsing through the sales and looking, someone is from Indonesia, the other from Australia, then from Russia and from countries I've never heard before. It's just amazing.
It's great to hear that personal connection to your user, and also the success story of being able to do it on your own. But I know you've also had some support from Nokia and Symbian in terms of promotion. What's been your experience working with the big boys as a one-man company?
Well, it's a two-sided sword, so to say. I'm very happy to have that much support and that much publicity, of course. I'm happy to see people in the upper management to say they love Gravity and to advertise Gravity and say it's the coolest app out there, or to have Gravity being advertised on the television in the UK and so on. That's quite nice. But still, it's always difficult to work with the big ones, because they are quite slow sometimes. And my personal experience is, if you want to get something done with Nokia or Sony Ericsson or Symbian probably, you need to get somebody inside of that large corporation who is a fan of you, or who's an evangelist, or, you know, who's dedicated to, who's probably not even in the area where it's of you know, in that part of the company which is most useful for you, but who is promoting you inside, and who's, you know, and that's, and I'm lucky to have found someone in Nokia and someone in Sony Ericsson, and I see that this is really interesting, that these let's say not so important people are making things happen, and without them Gravity wouldn't be there where it is right now, I think.
And as a final question, I think we have to ask, what's your favorite feature of Gravity?
Oh, that is very, very difficult. I was asked this once before, so I think I just repeat that question. And the favorite thing of Gravity for me is that it became some sort of friend. So it's like a living thing. I look at it and I still like it, like it is. But when I'm adding something new to it, because I'm the sole programmer of it, and it makes Gravity look a bit different, I'm really like confused or hesitant. If, you know, it's like if your wife comes in and wears something you've never seen before, and you think about, is it looking good or not? And this is the same thing with Gravity right now. If I add something to it, I'm thinking, is it fitting Gravity? Does it look good? Do I like it this way? Or no, I would like to have it like it was before. So it's some sort of, you know, it's very difficult to say. It has some sort of personal relationship, and that's something I've never experienced before, because the products I've been working on, the programs I've been working before, was just some sort of, you know, and not living.
So there you heard it here. Gravity is the living application on the Symbian phones, and we know we're big fans. Just added Google Reader support, and I'm sure there's much more to come in the future. So thank you very much, Gianelli. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks a lot. It's an honor to be interviewed, really.
So what about the perception of the Symbian Foundation outside of these, I was about to say four walls, but it's actually two walls and a big curved roof coming over like a Nissan hut from World War II. I'm joined on the Symbian Insight podcast here from the Smartphone Exchange and Exhibition by Bill Ray of The Register. Hello, Bill.
Hello.
I was about to ask Andrew, but then I think we'd probably have to put the profanity filter up to 11 for that one, wouldn't we?
I should imagine so. I know he's here somewhere, I think, but I've not seen him yet.
Oh, there we go. So, Symbian, just from the point of view of a journalist and someone who has an overarching view of the consumer market in the smartphone space, what's the current perception of Symbian like?
There's still a problem in the majority of people who are using Symbian don't know they're using it. So the brand is not very widely acknowledged, while the Apple brand and even Android people know they've got it. A lot of people own a Nokia phone or an Ericsson phone and don't realise it's a Symbian phone. So I think Symbian has some work to do there. But the perception is that it's being trounced by the competition, due to slow development, the UI development, and also concerns about Nokia's deployment of Qt and the fact that Qt applications will be cross-platform could move developers away from Symbian as a development platform in the future.
I mean, horrible hat on head. That means that there's developers with Symbian just now.
There are some developers with Symbian, I think. There's still a decent version of Go for Symbian, I think. There is now a Windows version, I noticed, so Go is spreading. So there's still some developers, but I think that the concern is they will move away, and they'll move to Qt, which enables them to move on away from Symbian more easily onto MIMO or any other platform.
So two questions. Should they be concerned? Would be the first one. And if so, what should they do about it?
If I was a developer, I would learn Qt. And I would get to developing Qt and prepare myself for a possible move to another platform, or at least isolate my non-transportable code so it can later be transported to another platform if necessary.
And what about Symbian? Should they be concerned about this? And again, what would you do there if you were them?
I don't know. Yes, they should be concerned. I don't know what they should do about it.
And finally, do you think it matters? I mean, Nokia making a big push into the sort of mid-range, S60s and US40 might be a perception. Can Nokia seek that high ground and still be a successful, innovative smartphone company?
Yes, I think so. I see no reason why not. The middle-range phones, the big difference is whether the handset subsidy starts to disappear and therefore phone handset innovation slows down. As the users have more SIM-only contracts, there'll be less money to pay for more innovative handsets.
And that might be an opportunity for the mid-ranges?
Indeed, yes. As people are prepared to pay a lot less for their handsets, they will want that functionality on the lower-end phones, which could hurt people like Apple. That's hard to imagine that.
Really, even managed to end on a nice, polite note for us. Bill, thanks very much for your time. Register itself is always a fascinating read. If not always 100% accurate, it's always at least 100% on time. Theregister.co.uk still?
Yes.
Lovely. Bill, thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Are you enjoying your massage?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, good.
I'll come back and give you a quid later. Right, moving on, we have Mobile Today magazine. We have now coming around the back of the Samsung mobile stand. It's huge, it's neon, it's blue, and there are quite a few demos from individual developers. We have Electronic Arts, Samsung themselves. There's Cheng Liu, a friend of the site. He's been helping us with the Samsung i910 HT. Will do. We'll come to him in a moment. There's Wecom, SPB Software, also friends of ours. We'll come to them in a moment. And Imagination Technologies. Cheng, can we grab you for a moment?
Hi, everyone. I'm Cheng from Samsung Mobile.
Yes, Cheng's been helping us. He's based in the UK on sorting out firmwares for the i910 HD. So what's the future for the i910 HD? How long will it last before the next product comes along, Cheng?
Yes, one of your colleagues also asked me the same question. So I would answer that the outside world says, oh, Samsung stopped making Symbian phones and the i910 is there already for probably a year, but without any firmware update. But I would say it's not the truth. I mean, Samsung still working on a Symbian foundation and also Symbian phone. So, and we keep supporting our developers on especially on i8910, and so there will be a lot of new features, and we will encouraging and adding more technical support on these mobile phones. And we believe it is a fantastic phone, still got a lot of attractiveness to the developers to draw their imagination and innovation on the device.
Yeah, and in fairness to the Samsung, the i10 HD has a pretty advanced hardware platform underneath it. And whereas the Nokias, if I'm fair, I love Nokias, but they do tend to be obsolete the year after in terms of the core RAM, memory, and CPU, whereas the i10 HD is fairly forward-looking. So, yeah.
Yeah, agree. Yeah.
So thanks, Cheng. Okay, moving around now to SPB Software. And we're here with Anton. How do you pronounce your surname? Introduce yourself.
Don't try it. Just don't try it. Just skip it. Anton. That's it.
Yeah, well, Anton speaks for excellent English, and he's SPB Software, do the SPB TV. And there's a couple of top secret applications, which I can't even tell you about, but were demoed earlier on. You can get a clue as to what they are if you go and look at SPB's site and look at other platforms. Some of these things are coming to Symbian.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about those things on the radio because they all involve heavily have a visual experience, I'd say. So it's TV application and a couple of games, and these can be seen on this beautiful Samsung device. And this game develops your mental abilities, and this one is a puzzle wheel played from childhood probably, and this one is SPB TV with over 100 channels in 20 different languages, and this one SPB Wallet, which protects all your passwords on the internet for emails and for credit cards accounts, so all sorts of it.
Yeah, we're going to be testing Ewan on SPB Brain Evolution later on. Right, we're moving on. Thank you very much there. Keypoint Technologies, Dextra Technologies, Futurice, open source business models. Now, there are all sorts of seminars and theatres scattered around the outside of the show floor. I'm sure they're absolutely fascinating, but we haven't got time to go to any of them. All About Symbian has a team of 3 or 4 people here, and we need 20. Open Kernel Labs, Mobile Virtualization, OKL Microvisor. Do you understand what that means? No, I don't either. So we're going to move on. Mobile Today, Industry Newspaper. Very nice indeed. SD Ericsson, I'm not sure where they fit in. Immersion, touch, this is really interesting. Touch Sense Haptic Technology in Mobile Phones. We're going to try and grab them for a 30-second sales pitch on what you do here.
Okay, I'm with Immersion Corporation. We do haptics.
It's Terence Warmbier. Yeah.
Terence Warmbier, yes. We do haptics, tactile feedback. We put the emotion back into the digital interface. With a digital interface, you've lost that emotional feeling, that actual tactile feedback that is so important to us. We actually now put that back in. So where you have a pure glass touchscreen, you can actually feel the buttons.
Is your technology in current shipping phones?
It's in shipping phones. It's in shipping Symbian phones from Nokia.
So the N97 here, is that yours?
The N97, not particularly, but...
which Symbian phones is your technology
It's in Symbian phones from Nokia, from Samsung. It's in things like the Omnia HD.
Okay.
It's in Nokia phones like the N900. So we have a lot of product. We have about 100 million devices now shipping in the market with the technology in.
Okay.
The majority of them are touchscreen phones.
Yeah.
Nokia is, of course, an important customer to us. Symbian is an important platform for us.
Yeah, I have to say, I love the haptic feedback on the i910 HD. So if that was yours, then well done.
That was us.
Makes a big difference with the virtual QWERTY keyboard. So this has been Immersion Technology. So thank you very much. Okay, moving on. We have Device Anywhere, which is a way of accessing your PC via your mobile. I'm sure there are lots of different solutions there, but they've been going for quite a while. Red Ben, one of our favourites. We met them earlier, putting firmware over the air solutions, mainly for Nokia phones. Samsung don't seem to have gone down that route. Intertech NSTL. I've no idea what they do. Telesoftas. In touch with mobile on Android, Symbian, Windows Mobile, and all other platforms. Ekivo. There really are a huge number of independent development houses here, as they normally are. This is very much a developer show. Ekivo do mobile TV, on-device portals, and mobile music. And we'll try and catch them later as well. Exonos. I hope I pronounced that right. Again, I haven't the faintest idea what they do. Let's have a look at their stand. See the future. A truly smartphone can take you anywhere. Let's have a word with them. Navigate towards effortless communication. You're live on All About Symbian Radio. Can you give a 30-second sales pitch on what you do as a company? This is Tapani Sound.
Tapani Channel, yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, yeah. Exonos is a software service provider. We work with all the big vendors. So basically anything to do with mobile, we can provide, whether it's a hardware adaptation layer up to applications and even developing and hosting services on the web.
Lovely. Whereabouts are you based in the world?
We're based, well, basically all over the world. Our headquarters is in Helsinki, but we also have locations in China, USA, all over Europe, Berlin, London, Copenhagen.
Roughly how many people in your company?
Close to 1,000. Close to 1,000 people.
So big company. Yeah. Nice to meet you. Thanks a lot. Okay, moving on, we have Vision Objects, Atelier Software. Now, they're a name from the past, from the Scion days, I imagine. That's 15 years or so ago. Now moving towards one of the main theatres where the keynote was done earlier. I would just wander my travelling microphone, otherwise known as Ewan Spence, who's now walking backwards valiantly. So we're now walking back past some more of the developer seminars, and we're heading for a stall where I think we might find something of particular interest to my walking microphone holder. We're going to try and find a copy of Ewan Spence's OPL book at the John Wiley publication stand, and this could be rather interesting. Apparently all the Wiley books are being sold off at £10 each, whatever their original recommended retail price. So this, the book scavenging starts here. Now, we need to find Rapid Mobile Enterprise Development for Symbian OS. We are at the Wiley stand, and it's there, and there's a big pile, and they haven't sold a single copy. Ewan, have you got any comments?
Well, to be honest, I'm very pleased that I demanded to have the purple cover. So as our first day here at the Symbian Exchange and Exposition draws to an end, myself, Rafe.
Hello, everybody.
Steve.
Hello.
And joining us, Stuart Clark as well.
Hello, everyone.
Gather for a little head-to-head, because there's four of us there. Guys, good show or bad show?
I think it's a good show. The interesting thing that I've heard a lot of people comment on, it's smaller than it normally is. And that's absolutely true. But in one sense, it's not surprising. You know, you could roll out the economy excuse, but also bearing in mind the Symbian Foundation is now a non-profit foundation. But I also think it's a lot more focused. The Symbian show in the past has had kind of, you know, it's been like Jane, it's two-headed. It's been consumer on one side and developer on the other, and kind of fallen between two stools. This time the emphasis is on developers and the community around the Symbian Foundation, I think that's a really good thing, and it's an important thing because it's getting a message about community contributions and collaboration, which is so important with the foundation going forward.
Yeah, and if one positive benefit of being smaller, of course, is that it's not so easy to get lost, and you actually meet people you want to meet. In the old days, say 3 or 4 years ago, the show is just big enough that you'd think, oh, I really hope I bump into so-and-so, and you just miss them through the entire day. Here, you can think, I need to speak to Stuart Clark, and you can wander the floors, and within 5 minutes, you will find him. So I've bumped into some amazing people today, and I've actually had the best show I've had for a decade, so I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, from a practical point of view, there isn't a massive 57-acre Symbian stand slap bang in the middle of the hall next to a massive coffee bar. That's been taken out, and that's brought everything in physically, and it's provided a much better sense of community and cohesion, which is what Symbian are trying to achieve.
Yeah, and the other thing that is very interesting in this show, there's less phones on display. There's the consumer line's not there, but the phones that are there, the people are actually willing to show you more on the devices, show you what they've got coming up. And you can actually almost get more out of seeing the consumer side of things than you could at the consumer-focused shows.
I think that's right. Developers get the information they need, and that's what's really important. The one sort of thing I say, I think it's a shame there aren't so many of the technical demos on the Symbian stand, which always demonstrated where Symbian was looking ahead next for things like the sort of zero shutter leg cameras or the symmetric multiprocessing. They're still all there, and we all know about them, but I think actually having real demos, and that's now gone by the wayside, mainly because there is less need to do so for the audience, because that consumer focus has gone. So it swings in roundabouts, of course, but I think they have nailed the message about we're becoming open source. It's about the community and the contributions that come in from the outside. Now, whether you agree with that as a strategy or not, Symbian have been able to get that message across to developers, and a lot of the developers I've spoken to have been very positive in their response to that message and the right decisions that are getting made with regard to Qt, web runtime, the Symbian Horizon program. And so there's a lot of positivity, I think, within developers working in the industry, although I suspect it's maybe even more insular than it has been in the past.
But to ask that, there's not a lot of new blood when you look at the stands that are here or the speakers. So there's a lot of tried and tested companies in here. Yet we always see that the smartphone market is exploding and going everywhere. Is this almost like a dorming show and forming, and they'll do the storming and getting in the new blood next year in Berlin?
I think we'd have to hope that's the case. I guess I'm not really the expert here. Can I just put in one comment in terms of personal recognition for the All About Symbian and the phone show? 5 or 6 years ago, we could have said, I'm Rafe Blanford, or I'm Steve Litchfield, I'm Ian Spencer from All About Symbian, and we'd be met by blank stares. And it's been tremendously heartened in this year, 2009. We can say we're from All About Symbian, and we get immediate smiles and recognition, and it's not just heartwarming, it actually proves that these people do read what we write, and that our opinions are actually, they matter.
Yeah, it's always nice to be appreciated, but to answer your original question, Ewan, yes, of course, it is always the same companies. I think that's reflecting that it's a lot of the consultancies and the companies who provide services to the big companies, and they will always turn up because they're looking for new business. But we are in the transition phase between Symbian as the old company and the Symbian Foundation, which is a non-profit, and they're building an entire new ecosystem. So do I think it will be bigger in the future? Absolutely. As we get more Symbian manufacturers, more members of the community on board, it will grow. And I think you see the signs of that, for example, in a company like Ixonos, who have a big stand here, who are actually making a contribution to the foundation, removing double tap from S65th edition lists. And I think we'll see more of that kind of thing in the future, and we'll see more from the open source community. I've seen a lot of open source from some of the KDE communities, but also from people who contribute. I'm just trying to remember their name, sorry. User interaction engineers and architects who are contributing in Linux projects like the GIMP and other projects are here as well. And I think there's just that seed sign. Maybe Symbian Foundation needs another year to really find its feet, especially given that we're waiting for the first full Symbian Foundation release. We're only at 16 packages in the kernel open sourced. By this time next year, the entire platform will be available as open source. And I think that will be a significant strategic shift for the reason, the lifeblood behind the show.
It's quite significant. There are a lot of companies here that are iceberg companies. They look like a small stand, two or three people, and you talk to them and they say, oh yeah, we're 1,000 people. one in Ixonos cases. And Red Ben was, you know, their firmware over the air software is used in something like 70% of the world's phones. Another company would said, our transitions are used in one out of every five phones in the world. And these are actually huge numbers, but you wouldn't know it from the small stands here. So they're very much like an iceberg.
And it's interesting, I think that reflects the maturity of the platform. We're now having things that it's running on hundreds of millions of phones, and the issue isn't whether Symbian platform is going to make it, it's just how far it's going to go. And it's that, you know, change from that stage where, you know, Symbian platform and the open platform and open source has talked about the next great thing. It's now here, and it's the question is now, how do we build sustainable business models behind it for third-party companies? How do we grow those business models and the future going forward? And that's a definite step change, I would say. And as Steve rightly calls them iceberg companies, people often underestimate just how much goes into a phone, how many companies contribute. And so coming to the show, I think from a consumer point of view, you do get a good idea of that. But developers can also meet all the people they need to in one place. And if you are, you know, a company looking to get into Symbian hardware, this show would be an excellent place to make contacts and get everything you needed pretty much off the shelf, rather than having to do it yourself. So the ability to make a Symbian phone in, you know, 6 to 12 months is now far greater than it has ever been before. And that's a significant achievement of the Symbian Foundation here at this show.
I was just going to add, there's... Talking of the companies you don't normally see here, I noticed one stand that struck out, and that's VMware. Now, VMware is not known as a mobile phone company in any way, shape, or form. They make very large server applications that sit on big corporate systems and virtualize one server onto another server. To see them coming into this show indicates just how much the convergence is going on, and proves that they believe they've got a market in these devices, much the same way as Citrix tried to do a couple of years ago and couldn't really make it work. Having a client on the phone to actually give you all the corporate stuff that you'd get typically on your big PC or big server at work.
And that speaks to the maturity and sort of the acceptance of the platform as a whole that these companies are coming in, because they feel they can build a business on it. And by making the commitment to have a stand here, I think that speaks volumes about how the Symbian platform is seen in the wider IT world.
Yeah. In summary, can I just say that it's there are less shiny toys here. There's less to play with, but there's more of a buzz. I know I say this every year. I say there's a real buzz, but this year I've been rushed off my feet more in terms of the sheer amount of enthusiasm coming from the stands. People wanted to talk about what they do and how large their enterprise is and all the things they're involved in. And I'm just rushed off my feet and good on the ecosystem.
What's your one each for you? The thing that you're going to take away from this conference?
Well, it has to be the buzz.
Building for the future, stuff we're going to see next year, Symbian 3, Symbian 4.
You said something short, that makes it difficult. So I'm going to say the open source nature of the Symbian Foundation.
I'm going to go with the actual community spirit that we have. And, you know, getting all these people, corralling them in. It's a huge, I mean, 165 members of the Symbian Foundation are driving this. Not, you know, there is one person leading the plan, which is Lee Williams on stage, but he's got a huge army behind him, and not just of members who've got money in, but there's a community building up as well. I'm really interested to see if they can grow that over the next year.
That's right. This show is about the community that sits behind the Symbian platform. If you want to see the shiny toys, the consumer end of things, then you go to the manufacturers, you go to Nokia World, you go to a Sony Ericsson launch, you go to the next Samsung launch, or indeed many futures to come. And certainly from the people I've been speaking to, the betting here is that there will be new Symbian hardware manufacturers before too long, perhaps coming out of some of the Asian manufacturers. So certainly looking at some of the name tags wandering around, there's a very wide selection of manufacturers from hardware here from all across the world. So I think it'll be a very interesting time in the next year as we get towards the Symbian 4 release, which is the big deal for Symbian Foundation, because it's in some ways their first proper release when it will all be nice and open source. They'll have the new UI, they'll have Qt, web runtime, the 466 new technologies that are in development for Symbian 3 and 4 that we heard about today. And it's that motion going forward that's been missing from the last 6 months of Foundation. And now you get the real impression that things have, you know, they've created the foundation. Now it's time to get to work.
Can I just say, whichever Nokia manager decided that today, the opening day of the show, was the right day to release the next generation version 20 firmware for the N97 should be strangled, and I'll be happy to do the strangling.
So, Paul Steve sets himself up for a little visit to the Old Bailey later on in this year. Big thank you also to Stuart Clark joining us.
Thank you very much.
Rafe Blanford.
Thanks, everybody.
Steve, who hasn't been arrested yet.
Not quite.
Not
but
quite.
No.
And myself, Ewan Spencer, here from the Symbian Exchange and Exhibition at Earls Court 2 in London. Thank you very much for listening. This has been our special Insight podcast. We'll be back with the usual fun and games next week, but your comments are always appreciated. Back www.allaboutsymbian.com. Thank you for listening. Now, where's the tube station?